हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीहाद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 74. Vrajana. Which souls are in the stage of budding consciousness? Babaji. Conditioned souls and human bodies display three stages of consciousness. Budding consciousness, blossoming consciousness, and fully blossomed. Like, remember before, you have the covered and, was it retracted?
Yes.
Like that. So the covered is the non-moving living entities, like the trees and plants and rocks and those kind of things. So that their consciousness is so covered that all they can notice is the six stages. Yes. Of existence. You know, birth, growth, maintenance. They can only notice that. Mm-hmm. Then when you get up into the retracted consciousness of the animals, they see that, plus they also see eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Right? But that's as far as they can go. Mm-hmm. So that's why we always say if someone only sees that much, then they're on the same level as the animals. Yes. Right? So then the human form, they can have three levels. Right? So not that they can't manifest less than that, but this is what it has the potential to do.
Maharaj, when you speak about the consciousness, and then you have also spoken about the waking dream state and the deep sleep state, Turiya and Prema. So these correspond to these five. Can we say that?
These correspond to these five? No, not that. There's something different. It means that in being conscious, then you're awake, you're dreaming, or you're in deep sleep.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's, you're looking at it a different way. I mean, you can overlap it, but I wouldn't take that as the main view.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you can say those that are in these three are awake. Well, those who are in the pranamoy, then they're dreaming. And those who are less than that are in like a deep sleep. But you see that, as it's mentioning, the immortal people, they're awake. And they also go to sleep and dream and then have deep sleep. So you can have an overlap in a generic way, but I wouldn't make it specific. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, it's stretching too far. Like that.
But now is it exactly the same thing that the five levels are like anamoya, panamoya?
Yes, exactly yes, yes. You'll get that. Yes. You'll get that. Because you see, yes, but at the same time as you have those, the non-moving, they're in anamoy, yes. But they're so low in it they can't even see the eating, sleeping, mating, and defending part.
Yeah.
Then the animals are in the higher level of that. They can appreciate that.
Yes.
Then you also have human beings who are immoral, and they're on that level also.
Yes.
Right? So, yeah. Then you're going to have pranamoy, where they're a little bit, you know, more awake than that, but it's still eating, sleeping, mating, and defending.
Yes.
Right? But they're a little bit more civilized and all that. So they organize. They are able to see beyond themselves.
Yes.
They see the community and things like that. But we even see within the animals that some have community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many don't, but many do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like elephants, they move in herds as community.
Mm-hmm.
They work together. It's not that they just happen to be there together, but they think as a herd. Like that. So you have different animals that you also have that aspect. So they're functioning basically in pranamoy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the point, is that pranamoy is better than anamoy, but it's not that glorious because you're not actually conscious of what's beyond eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So it's not a strong position, right? Like that. So that's why the human, then, the opportunity is there for the budding consciousness blossoming and fully blossoming. Like that. Okay. There are five kinds of human beings. One, immoral people. Two, atheists who follow moral principles. Right? But those moral principles are generally, they don't have to come from Shastra. Mm-hmm. They might be based on Shastra, mm-hmm. but that's not the important part. The important part is they accept it.
Yes.
Right? And if it's based on the scriptures, better.
Yes.
But if it's not based on the scriptures, they don't care. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing, is the atheistic, because if theistic means you're accepting the moral principles coming from God, right? So the third, people believe in God and follow moral principles.
Yes.
That's the thing. You believe in God and follow those moral principles.
That's manamoy.
Right?
Hmm? That's manamoy.
Yes, that's manamoy. So you can also have a mix where someone believes in God but still follows their own atheistic morality.
That's pranamoy?
Yeah, it would be a mix between the two. So in other words, you have the faith in God, but you're still actually functioning on pranamoy because your moralistic it's just like, let's say, you have in non-Vedic religions, they believe in God. So from that, it would put them on manamoy, and they follow things that are scriptural, but a lot of times, a lot of their morality is not from scripture. You know, like Western morality of someone who consider themselves a proper, you know, Christian gentleman or something like that. Most of the morality is not coming from scripture. So you'll see it's a mix of the two. So maybe religiously there may be the manamoy, but socially it's pranamoy.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like that. And individually, then it might be anamoy. <'Cause>, if no one's looking, they'll do whatever they like. You know, so the Dharma Artha Kama, they kind of go together. They're kind of a group. It's just a matter of where you are in the group. You know? Mm-hmm. Like that.
Because that's what happens to the devotees. Not
yes.
Anamaya, but,
yeah, but that's why I mention is because you'll see is they're accepting the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, so they believe in God, and certain aspects that are from Shastra are there, but also then they have belief in a lot of morality that's atheistic, that's not coming from Krishna. It's not from scripture. And they'll mix it, because it's morality, they think it's all the same. You know, they can't tell the difference. You know, it's just like Sahajiyas are doing Harinam Kirtan, but that doesn't mean it's the same. Right? Because it's not coming in Parampara, so it doesn't have that chit potency. So their morality, part of it's from scripture, but part of it's not from scripture. And it's morality, it's seen as the common, but actually it's two different aspects of morality. One's theistic, one's atheistic. So atheism here simply means it's not from God. It's not from scriptures. It doesn't mean they don't believe in God. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Then, the fourth position, people who believe... Oh, no, that was it. People engaged in practical devotional service, sadhana bhakti. That's the fourth level. And people engaged in loving devotional service, bhava bhakti. That's the fifth level. Right? So now in here, then we can see is basically speaking is the... The karmis and jnanis who are theistic, who follow the Vedas, they'll be counted in this third level. Because very few would actually be, even though they're jnanis, that they're on the platform, they understand they're functioning on that platform of the soul, and not the body, right? You know, so they're detached, it's based on that knowledge, so there's very few there. So that's why you see in that second point, engaged in devotional service, when we say, then Krishna is talking about the jnanis, or the brahmanas, or the sages, or the jnanis, and the devotees.
Yes.
And he's putting them basically together, that they're all dear.
Yes.
Like that. So that's that fourth and fifth level. Right? Because you might have a few of those that get to that higher level. They're technically there, but they're not. You know what I'm saying? It's just like the jnani can get to the liberated platform, but he's not actually really there because it's temporary, right? He's situated there, but because it's going to be temporary, we don't call it, actual liberation. You know, just like the material world is here. You have a house, it's actually a house. It's there. But because you're only going to have it temporarily, we'd say it's asat. It's not real, it's unreal. Because we deal with it as if it's eternal. Right? If there's, let's say, take the feeling of, let's say, being in the house and that feeling of security. That sense of security, that is Krishna. Right? That's, so we're connecting with Brahman there. Right? That's why it gives us a good feeling. And that feeling has that eternality to it, because it's Krishna. But Krishna is eternal, not the house. You understand? And even the principle of house, that's eternal, but not your house. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? It means there's always going to be houses. Every day of Brahma, there's houses. So in the primary creation, there's house. Then that's manifest in the secondary, according to our position, our karma, our taste. Does that make sense? So Indra has his house. That's going to look a touch different than our house. You know? And then our house looks different than, let's say, the jackals. They also have a house. Right? You know, but it's in the grass there. They dig a hole in the dirt there, and Hari Bol, it's home, sweet home. Right? And they're getting that same sense of security. Because it's Krishna. So the eternal aspect is Krishna. But we're taking it as... We were able to talk the whole time. This is good. Because normally the kirtan goes by, that's it. You know? I mean, not that it's a bad thing. So here, if you're looking at it in the practical sense, then the jnanis, most of them won't actually get, those who are committed to it, aren't going to get past too much past manamoy. There'll be a touch of, it'll be mixed with jnanamoy. Yes. But it won't really be situated there. Right? And even if they are situated there, it'll be temporary. Yes. Right? While the devotee's situated there, that's he's situated. Then as that turns into bhava bhakti, it goes into anandamaya. He's actually there. Well, even if a jnani gets up to anandamaya, they're just touching it and then coming back.
Because of no guidance.
No guidance, because they don't have a relationship with Krishna. So they can't enter into the spiritual planets. Because only in a relationship to Krishna, entering the spiritual planets, that we call actual liberation or real liberation. The other, you could say you're out of the material world. You know what I'm saying? It's like just taking a ball, throwing it up in the air. Yeah, it goes, and then it comes back. So does that make sense? So just in case, because we see in other places, this will be described without the emphasis necessarily on the devotees. So then that description there will go through. And so we'll see the jnanis and that more situated in the description. Plus, we'll also see finer divisions of even these five. Because you have the immoralist, but then you have the civilized, seemingly civilized immoralist. Like we said, the connoisseur or something like that. He's civilized. He knows how to dress, how to act, how to this. But it's only for himself. He doesn't actually care about the social thing.
That's Narada?
Sorry?
That would be Narada?
Yeah, it basically would be a Narada. But like that. You understand? Then you have within what do you call it? Atheistic immoralist. Some of them, they don't have a problem with God. Because it makes their system work better. You know, as we said, if you're just following the social morality, you'll follow it to some degree. But if it's God's morality, then you tend to follow it more. So for their system to work, God being involved works very nicely. Right? But they're situated in pranamoy. So, and even if they actually believe in God, their situation, their social situation, is still pranamoy. Because they're not acting according to the scripture. Maybe someone who's very strict, or someone living in a monastery, or like that, they might be more, you could say, on manamoy. You understand? But until you follow Varnashram, it's not considered that you're strictly on the platform of Manamoy. Because the other ones, you can fall so easily from it. But the Varnashram will keep you situated there. Because you'll always be following the rules and regulations. Does that make sense? So you have these five places. Now the natural form of it, as is given here, right, rather than just the materialistic, we're looking at it from going from being a rock up to being on Bhava Bhakti or praying Bhakti. Then it's going to be this. The devotees, because they know they're not the body, they're acting in that way. So they're acting according to they're not their body. That situates them in the fourth level. Right? Because already from the third, you have faith in God. So now it's deeper because now you've committed yourself to the process. You're following the rules and regulations given by the parampara. The sadhana bhakti, that will bring you to bhava bhakti. And bhava bhakti will bring you to prema. Does that make sense? Sadhana won't bring you to prema. Sadhana will bring you to bhava. Bhava will bring you to prema. Which is not a problem. You know, it's just like saying, your car is going to get you there, but walking to your car gets you to the car. Right? By walking, you get to the car, and by the car, you get to the temple. So it's just a natural progression. Does that make sense? So I'm just saying, bringing this out so that when we see this list in other places, we don't get confused. Right? It's just depending upon what you want to bring out, then you'll emphasize. But the real point of you could say vijnanamoy is you have realization of you as the soul, not the body, and a servant of Krishna. But you're not functioning on that, you could say, to your fullest capacity. Then when you come to Bhava Bhakti, now you're serving fully in that, but you haven't come to that topmost level. Does that make sense?
So in short, over here they have just categorized it from Shraddha to Prema. Then Bhava and Prema are in the fully blossomed consciousness, whereas
yes.
Bhava and Dham
yes.
is blossoming.
Yes. Yeah. Because all these have generally two parts. Mm-hmm. It's just here he's just showing the general category.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And people engaged in loving devotional service, Bhava Bhakti, right? So that's the fully blossomed. Yeah. Thus, the categories are people. Okay, there are five kinds of human beings. Thus, the categories are people who, because of ignorance or because of improper knowledge, become atheists. The immoral people. Okay, become atheists. The immoral people. The moral atheists. The people who have a little faith in God. The people who believe in God. Right. See, he's breaking it up here, like that, because they're just atheists. They're on the lowest level. Then they're immoral. Right? They may not be fully committed atheists, but they're immoral. Yes. Right? Then you have the moral atheists. Right? They're going to be higher than that, because then they can work together. Because if you're immoral atheist, how do you work together? How much can you get? Does that make sense? So it's just like, let's say, we have that connoisseur. But he is not taking part in anything that arranges the social system that the things that he is expert in is being produced, either in food or alcohol or, you know, whatever it is that he's very good at. He's not adding to the social fabric that produces that. Right? Because he doesn't care. All he cares is he's got money and he goes out and spends it for himself. Right? It might be, you know, his friend or this or that, but it's only because it's directly connected to him. There's no concept of greater social context.
Mm-hmm.
Right? While the moral atheist, there's the idea of we have the morality that we all work together, we follow these rules because then it makes it better for everybody.
Yes.
But for this immoral atheist, he doesn't care about anybody else, really.
Yes.
Right? And these are general categories, because you'll see in some moments someone has another level of consciousness. Because if they don't, how do we preach? We preach, we raise the consciousness. They get that experience.
Yes.
Right? And then that keeps happening. Then they start to be able to compare it to their natural or their particular conditioning that they're functioning at the time. And they can start to see it's a higher level of consciousness.
Yes.
Right? So it's not just intellectual, it's also that experience. Because intellectually you may accept it, but it's only when the experience is there that you surrender.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Huh.
So, we've noticed sometimes is that it's very difficult to associate with devotees, because, for example, they have, you know, very strong ideas about food, which is anamaya, meaning, you know, vegans or raw food diet, and then in social fabric, not very functional. Dharma, it's not the background, so we can't really apply it. And then sadhana, of course, there's sadhana.
Yeah, so in the temple, generally, you'll see devotees can associate all right, because then in the temple, they're generally functioning on that fourth level of consciousness.
Okay.
You know, so for the morning program, it's strong. Generally, there's going to be very minimal, you know, some appreciate, it means generally everyone appreciates if you sit down and chant. You know, most are okay if you walk and chant. And a few, it's totally against, you know, all the, you know, how you say, standards of whatever it is that they come up with. But that's what it means. They make up the rules. You know what I'm saying? But other than a few things, then most things, it's like, you know, the temple program, you'll get along. Mm-hmm. It's just that after the temple program, it's time for prasad, that's when your first problems will start. So, at the temple program, then you can comfortably associate in that, and even within that, you can choose who you, like during darshan, who you stand next to. Are they going to be talking pajalpa or actually looking at the deities? You know, so like that. So then you can adjust. But then after that, you just find that association. That's the meaning of swajati. Finding equal nature. And so, therefore, you're comfortable. You can relax and be comfortable in Krishna consciousness and discuss things very nicely. Right? So you have to find the same. But like you said, the examples that they have a particular concept of diet. Then, if they're with others of like-minded, they're very comfortable. And then they can, within that, let's say like that vegan. They're all vegan, so they don't even think about the vegan so much. Then they'll talk about Krishna. But if they're with someone who's vegetarian, then it's all about vegans better than vegetarian. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like that. It's just, it'll always be a problem. Because it's the secondary comes up, because it being so prominent in the conditioned living entity, until the secondary is in place, they can't function in the primary. So that's why the Vedic system is there, the Varnashrama, so everyone can be situated in the secondary so they can focus on the primary. But actual pure devotional service is you focus on the primary and then you engage the secondary. Right? It's not the perfection of the secondary that makes the primary work. But for if you're more conditioned, then generally tendency the quality of the secondary influences the primary. Mm-hmm. You know, like even in Ruchi, you have two levels. The lower level is you have a great taste for the holy name, but only if the kirtan's really good, the melodic, the mridanga, you know, everything's just right. Then you can really get absorbed. You really actually have a real taste. Then higher than that is you have a taste of the holy name. It doesn't matter the environment.
Yeah.
Just as the holy name. And it doesn't matter if they're doing it right or not. You're absorbed. You know, so you always will have these higher and lower within. So it's just you find. And so if it's very few, then just hang out with those few. It doesn't take much. Right? Narottam Das Thakur is saying, you know, about Ramachandra, what is it? Ramachandra Sangha Mage Narottam Das. He didn't say Ramachandra and everybody else in the community and also those guys from down there and the guys that I met, you know, 5 years ago in this place, they Sangha Narottam Das. You know, Mage Narottam Das. He didn't say that. He just said that, just one. And if nothing else, you have the instructions. So you always have the association of, you know, you want to hang out with Rupa Goswami? Read Nectar Devotion. You know? So that's the whole point. There's always that association available. But it's just it may not be as socially broad as one would want. Right? But, you know, that's the whole point, is that you just have to find what works. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And when you're with those that have all these issues, don't talk about those things. If you're with a vegan, don't talk about food. Talk about the preaching, or, you know, whatever it is, that just stay away from food. You know, philosophy, or, you know, anything. You know, talk about your motorcycle, but don't talk about food. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because that's just the way it is. So when you're talking, it's the same. When you're talking with preaching, the non-devotee, you're talking in an area that they're comfortable in. You don't need to go into other areas. Right? And even if they bring it up, then you give it in the context of their area. Now you bring that out. So it's like, you know, vegans, because you're considerate and all this and that, and you're trying for a, you know, higher mode of goodness, you know, diet. That's a vegetarian, also the mode of goodness diet and all, you know. So it's a matter of you trying to get to goodness, from goodness to pure goodness. So it's not about the goodness. So if they put too much emphasis on the goodness, you get stuck there. It's about the pure goodness. And so since it's recommended, this and that, you know. You know, of course, then they'll say, yeah, but how can you? It's just like that, as they're saying, with, you know, holding their, you know, how you say, smartphone in their hand. You know, but I read something that it takes 1 ton of raw material from the earth to make one computer. So now, if that's not abuse, I don't know what is. You know what I'm saying? So if we want to get into that, then why are they living in the city? Isn't that abusive? Do you know that? The air, the this, that. Go out in the country.
Abuse the country.
Sorry?
Abuse the country.
Yeah. So how do you know? Instead of abusing the city, go out and abuse the country. These people won't, you know, how you say, like in the Swedish concept, you know. You live here, 1 kilometer away is your next person abusing the nature. You know, it's like, so that way then you don't bother each other. So it's just all these different things, is that it's just what they're conditioned to and don't mind, it's their own. That's what we mean by it's mundane morality. The problem comes up, it's mundane morality. It's not God-conscious morality. Right? That's the thing, is they're taking their morality and trying to force it upon, you know, through Aropia, that this is how God thinks.
Right.
But they forget that it's all God. Right? Means that cow that's not being taken care of nicely is still that potency of cowness. And cowhood is Krishna. And the earth, water, fire, air, ether, all this thing. He's the milk. He's this. He's everything. So now, how are you going to deal with Krishna in this form, in a devotional way? So they just avoid it. And say that that's devotional. But how is akarma devotional? Doing nothing, how is that devotional? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the whole point. You know, it's just like, let's say, you see the person comes who's your gardener. Okay? And they're going to mow the lawn, clip the things, water, do all that kind of stuff, because being a professional, you don't have time for all that stuff anyway. But you want to have a garden because somehow or another considered cool, but at the same time you never have any time to spend there or look at it or do anything there. So you have a garden. So you notice, you're looking out your window, the gardener shows up like that, gets out of the truck, gets all the stuff like that, then another person that's there with them, you know, who looks to be, you know, something older, some kind of senior to them, is yelling and screaming and giving him a whack and this and that and pushing him over and all that. Like that. And so you're watching all that. So, are we necessarily going to go out there and stop that?
No.
Okay. Now, at the same time, is, okay, we're not going to actually stop it. But now, now that we know that this gardener is abused, he's an abused gardener, are we going to accept his service of mowing our lawn and that?
No.
No, because if we do, we're supporting abused gardeners. I mean, we're supporting the rule of abused gardeners.
and even we will get abused.
Huh?
And even we will get abused.
That's another thing. You know what I'm saying? So you understand the logic here? So they won't stop it. They won't accept whatever service is rendered. Right? So the cow is being abused, but the cow is rendering the service of the milk. We're not going to offer the milk. We're not going to accept the service. And we're not going to stop the abuse. We're just going to live in our city and go to our little vegan cafe and haribo. And any vegetarian that walks in will harass them. Did I leave anything out?
No.
No, okay. Yeah, so that's the whole difficulty, is that it's akarma. They're not doing anything. So at least if you can't stop the one, you engage the other. That's the whole thing. Because ultimately it's all Krishna. So one aspect doesn't go well, but you deal with the other aspect properly. So we're not the controller. So thus, because of it being coming from non-theistic moralism, that's where the problem is. So that anxiety, you say, it's a different flavor. It's because of that. It's atheistic moralism. It's not theistic moralism. Right? Does that make sense? You know, because in India, you support the Goshal. You send money. You do this and that. You go down. You do some work. You know, like in Chopati, I think, all the devotees there at the place where they have all the cows, everybody's got to spend X amount of hours with the cows per week. They go down to brush the cows, feed the cows. You know, everybody puts in time for the cows rather than just the three guys that run the Goshala. So they're doing something. Does that make sense? So we have to be very, very careful here, is that you're finding those that have the same consciousness. Right? Somebody has, faith in Krishna but has this immoral morality, then they associate with those who are the same. And they'll be comfortable. Then they'll talk about Krishna. Right? But if they associate with those outside of their group, then the tendencies are going to focus on that lower level of consciousness and harass about that. And argue over that. Remember what I was saying before, the jnanis, they come up with their philosophies, and then they argue with each other over their philosophies. But they don't actually discuss about the absolute truth. So that's the difficulty. Because if you discuss about Krishna, then these secondary things go away. They're not so important. Does that make sense? Yeah, so, but it just limits who you associate with in a personal or social, but it doesn't limit when it comes to the devotional. Because generally speaking, there, all the temples, it'll be all the same. So that, therefore, there's no problem. Slight difference on, some will, chant the Shikshastanga prayers in English, some won't, some won't chant them at all. Some will, say the English for the Guru, how you say it? Not Guru Vastakam, Guru Puja, like that. Or, so some little differences in the programs, but basically it's all within the same context. More time for japa, less time for japa. Or, it just depends on, the classes earlier or later or shorter or longer. But it's there you can be comfortable that you always have, the full community can all associate together. Does that make sense? So that's why Varnashram is there, is if outside of that morning program you can't continue with that same consciousness, but it's just about the Bhagavat, aspects or the Pancharatrik aspects, then to make the social interaction work, so it's sattvic at least. Because if you're not working on Shuddha Sattva, then you want to only work on, drop down to sattva, that's what Varnashram's for. Because otherwise, then we try to create community based on, atheistic morality. You're dealing in pranamoy. You're dealing below the human standard. So if you're below the human standard, see, humans, there's only 400,000. But in animals, there's 8 million. So that means you're going to find less community working on atheistic moralism than on theistic moralism. Right? And theistic moralism means you're reducing it down to those few species of humans within the 400,000 who are civilized. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So there's much more chance of community. Just, you know, looking at it by, you know, practical statistics. Is that?
Yeah.
Does that work?
Thanks.
Okay. Okay. We're all good. Okay. Okay. Thus the categories are people who, because of ignorance or because of improper knowledge, become atheists. Then the immoral people. Then the moral atheists. The moral people who have a little faith in God. The people who believe in God. So they have a little faith in God, they're still within the pranamoy. Because they have a little faith. Right? And, you know, as long as their kid passes the exams, then God's great. And if he doesn't, then we got a problem. Right? People who believe in God. Right, so that puts them on that third level. People who following the rules of scriptures engage in sadhana bhakti, right? So that will take them up to the next level. And people who have attained love for God and thus engaged in bhava bhakti. Right, so here bhava bhakti is being expressed as having bhava, that attraction or ecstasy in connection with Krishna. So that can either be the lower stage of the bud rati, or it can be prema. But the connection to Krishna, that attachment to Krishna, that's the comment, yes.
Can we say that not necessarily, talking about the fourth level and the sadhakas, not necessarily by action we're on that level, but by our goal is that we're on that level?
No, I would say is that they would be on that level, but that doesn't mean that it's not mixed with other things.
Okay.
Just like, let's say, in sadhana bhakti, there can be more of just the devotional aspect, or it can have more karma to it, or more jnana to it, or...
Yes.
Because from manamoy, that is the foundation. There's not a difference in lifestyle with someone on manamoy, jnanamoy, manamoy, vijnanamoy, and anandamoy.
Right.
It's the same lifestyle, same rules, same everything. So externally it looks the same. The difference will be is whether one's functioning for the fruitive, for you know, the aspect of freeing yourself from material existence, and on the platform of prema. Right? So the devotees are trying to free themselves from material existence. So that's why it situates them there. They don't have that prema, but it's in pursuance of that. So that's why it's still called bhakti. Right? It's sadhana, but it's still counted as bhakti. Does that make sense? Because technically bhakti starts at prema. Because that, you can say, is actually bhakti. Does that make sense? You know, that's the meaning. No? Yeah.
Now, it's a difficulty that, because in the same, for example, in the same day, we can have different levels of...
Yes, we can go through all these different levels. That's why we're not steady.
And we can mix to receive.
Yes, yes. Then we come to, we catch steady, so it's more predominantly a proper Krishna consciousness. Then there's a little mix. So we see is that Prabhupada mentions that 75%, that you can say is you're actually steady. So that means 25% is something else. So it might be at the morning program it's really solid, and then during the day less, or, you know, today in the morning program it's a little bit spaced out, but later in the day then it becomes solid. So that's the difficulty with mixed devotional service. That's why it's not recommended. You know what I mean? Saying material life is totally not recommended. And then taking up devotional service, that is the proper situation. But within that, pure devotion is recommended. And mixed is, it can be used, but it's not considered solid. Because it can move, you can fall from it, you can all these things.
It's supposed to be temporary.
Yes, it's just a temp, you're just passing through. Yeah.
It can last.
How you say it's like using the bathroom. You're just passing through. You're not staying. You're not setting up shop there. You don't get out your yoga asana and put it down. You had something?
I was thinking that different preachers, they try to inspire people or devotees, let's say, and they use different techniques. One is emphasizing from negative,
yes,
and one is emphasizing from the positive. Like, say, for example, we're sadhaka, we're on the fourth level of consciousness, that brings us, like, it's very inspiring.
Yes.
And some, they will bring the other side, and say, you know, it's not as much, and what about the rules?
Right, right, right.
You know, how strictly can you actually follow?
Yes.
And this and that. So, how do we balance? How do we...
It depends on the person. Like, you'll see, if the attitude is correct, then you're definitely going to use the positive as all you need to use. But if some pride comes, you have to throw in a little negative how much is necessary to reduce the pride. Right? In other words, if they're humble about their involvement in devotional service, then you encourage them as it's good and it's, you know, this and advanced and all these different things. But if they're proud that I'm advanced, then you point out bhakti starts at prema. So that it deflates a little bit, but not so much. You want to watch. It's just enough that you can then inspire them and engage them. You're not trying to, you know, just crush them.
Yeah.
Like that. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of that balance. So we see is that from it, the prominence is on the encouragement. Because Srila Prabhupada gave the emphasis on Baladeva Vidyabhushan's commentary on Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
But you see, he uses a lot of Vishwanath, because all the, you know, nice technical, but on that point of that, you know, bhakti starts at prema, he's bringing out more Baladeva's aspect, is that if it's in pursuance of that prema, it's categorized as bhakti. Right? Though it's sadhana, maybe mixed, and this and that. But it's considered within that same context. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of, one is, I could say, Baladeva's is, one, very good for everybody, but it especially is encouraging to the neophyte. Right? Like, Vishwanath will not necessarily be as encouraging to the neophyte, but it'll make someone who's like the Madhyama, on his contemplation of Manana, it'll make him more, you know, serious and more focused, like that. You know, vyavasayatmika buddhi, like that. So they both have their position. So depending upon if you're trying to encourage, you use the one, and if you're trying to get someone to focus and be serious, then you use the other. They're both parts of the same thing. It's just that since Vishwanath has already emphasized the one, Baladeva brings out the other. It's not that Vishwanath doesn't do both. It's just he's explained that one because someone before him has brought out some other aspect. So it's whatever aspect is given, whatever Sanatana Goswami gives, and Rupa Goswami will give, you know, the other aspects because it's unlimited. So they'll bring out from the unlimited different aspects that will be inspiring to us. Right? And what's beyond what will be useful to us, then they don't give. You know, it's just like, you know, the at Sanatana Goswami Samadhi, there's the Granta Samadhi also. That's because they wrote literatures that were beyond what any sadhaka could deal with. Right? So, you know, someone on the platform of prema, that would work for them. But for others, it wouldn't work. So then they buried those books because they're just beyond. We wouldn't be able to deal with them. So within this, they're still both aspects are dealing within the context of what the, you know, conditioned soul of the practicing devotee can relate to and find inspiring. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So then, it's just a matter of knowing the audience on what will inspire them. Because some, you know, you get really strict and strong on it and they get inspired, and others, oh... Remember, I think it was in Poland. Somehow there's so many things in Poland, right? You know, you have the four anartas, the four kinds of anartas. You know, what is it? The aparad, hridai darbalyam, asat trishna.
Kutinati.
And kutinati, yes. Yeah, it's always that last one, probably, don't do that. Right? Probably say, what are the four kind of principles? They say three and forget one. Then when they finally say, don't do that. Yeah, so. Kutinati, right? Finding fault, right? So, yeah. So, and then So just that means we say avoid offenses, avoid, you know, like that. Okay, then we try. Then you break it down into four. Okay, that's okay. Now we know kind of like that, because it's enough you can kind of grasp and not disturb too much, because you know, okay, that's with the deities, and that's with the this, and that's with that, like that. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I can't remember which book, he breaks each of those four down into four sections. Like that. I don't remember which, it may be, you know, Haridas Thakur's instructions? Yeah, I think it might be Harinam Chintamani. So he breaks that down and shows four aspects of each one. So I think I just read that, and I found that, you know, it was quite interesting, you know, because now you know exactly what you're dealing with. I brought that up in the class, like that, and everybody, oh, it's like that. We're having enough trouble with just, you know, now you get a 16, it's like, you know, like that. What's going to be next, 108? You know, it's like, you know, just, you know, so, like that. You know, so you have to find what works in the particular audience that you're working in.
Now, it seems that we need a lot of encouragement.
Yes, we need a lot of encouragement.
No, but This is not discouraging. This is, in fact, enlightening.
It is enlightening, but at the same time, as if you're already looking at volume of, oh, four kinds of things they have to avoid, now 16 things, and that just gets more. It just depends on the situation of the individual. You know, what angle. If you explain it nicely so that they understand how to break it down exactly, it's still only one thing. Avoid offenses. Mm. It's just you have these details how you can figure out if it's an offense or not. Mm. Then it's there, but you're having to relate it to these 16 are still one. Mm. Right. Then it works. But if you just say it's 16, then it just keeps getting more and more. So it just depends upon the presentation. Like that. So, no?
Yes, but we've noticed that recently devotees have discourse sometimes is that everything is made so difficult, as if the process is very difficult, the presentation is like it's not for everybody, and then people can handle it. Because, you know, there's so many rules, so many regulations.
Because the emphasis is on the secondary. It always has to be the secondary and the primary are balanced. Like if we're saying, you see those in the 60s, probably it's just, you know, it's basically just on hearing and chanting about Krishna and taking prasad. So chanting, dancing, and taking prasad. So it doesn't change. We're just giving more details of how to chant, how to dance, how to take prasad. What are the considerations? So that it will go even better. So the secondary has to be in balance of the primary. So what happens if we put too much secondary, then we find we can get distracted. Now, if the person themselves is very nicely situated more in the primary, you can get more into the technical points. If not, you have to keep going back and forth, like Srila Prabhupada does. So get into technical points, then bring it to Krishna, technical points. So because of that, we'll take it that it's very light. But we can see is by going through, you know, Vedanta Sutra, and that so many of Prabhupada's purports, they're speaking exactly on the point that's there, you know, that's thereby in the Govinda Bhashya. But because he's taking every time there's another secondary thing made, then bringing it up to Krishna, then we may not see that. So in other words, he's using the full Panchanga Nyaya, let's say within one paragraph, even though there's many paragraphs. Right? Then there'll be an overall point that he's trying to make. But even within, he's just establishing one point, like giving an example. He'll show that not just in relationship to establishing that point, but how that point, how the example itself connects to Krishna. Right? In other words, the example connects to the point you make, which connects to Krishna. They'll just take the example and connect it to Krishna.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So it becomes more, one's not as aware of what's going on. You know, that's why you see before when we were doing breaking down the chapter summary into Panchanga Nyaya, it would always get confused because Prabhupada will do that at each point. And so then we'll think that, oh, here's the conclusion. No, that's the conclusion of that section. But it's not the overall. So by the principle of it, yes, it's correct. But by looking at it by the five angas, then it wasn't. Does that make sense? So you see that our fourth point let's see, would include a lot of the third. It would kind of like the third were giving example, but then at the end of the example probably gives the conclusion of that. We would conclude, we would take that and put that as part of the fourth.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? We would start, we'd do that. So, because generally your fourth and fifth sections are very small. You know, your first, your second, the first will be very short, it's one sentence or two. Then your second might be a little bit bigger. Then the third will be the volume. And then the fourth will be that conclusion. Sometimes you need to be a touch bigger, like about the size of like the second. And then the fifth will be basically like the first.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Like that. But we would extend, because he's giving conclusion in the third part to the third part, we would count that as the fourth part. You know?
Yeah.
Or sometimes count the fourth part was the fifth, and you know, different. So it's just a matter of Prabhupada so kindly always shown us that connection to Krishna. Like, I think it's probably one of the few purports I've seen where it was one of the ones we were doing in Vedanta Sutra where Prabhupada actually went for basically a page and a half before he brought it back to Krishna. It was a very long technical description. But I think it's a huge purport. So for the size of the purport, it's sticking.
On the Chaturvedi one?
I'm not sure, but it was some point that he wasn't. He was bringing out the Mayavad philosophy, expressing their philosophy in a very lengthy way. So it wasn't until the end that you could figure out.
Yeah, that was a
12-page
Yeah.
So like that, then he's generally he'll always very quickly turn it over. But that had so many things to present before you could give that explanation. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Maharaj, so can we say that even for the longer purpose, we can have more than one topic, and for every single topic, we have the Panchangana being executed by Prabhupada?
No, there's one topic, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't have subtopics that are supporting it. See, the point is, just like you're working in a circle, you have Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. But it doesn't mean Sambandha can't be broken down into Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Because the Sambandha has a goal you're trying to get, that I've established my relationship with, you know, Krishna. But that doesn't mean you're on Prayojana. It just means that now you're in that position where now you accept I'm the sole servant of Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Like that. So in the same way, the Panchanga Nyaya, it's not that you can't take each aspect and use different other parts to bring it out. Mm-hmm. But you're still doing that in the context of the bigger. Mm-hmm. So it's not that you have many theses. You have one thesis, but you have many sub-theses to support it. So depending upon how much people know. Just like, let's say, yeah, it means earlier than, let's say, this year. When we were dealing with any of the Jnana Yoga sections, generally we would have to go into great detail. But this year, because we've gone through it so much, then Krishna just mentions it, we don't have to discuss it at all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So you don't have to bring up other points. So that would be just this natural flow of the Panchanga Nyaya. But if people don't have a background in these things, you may have to explain each one and prove each one, just to prove the main thesis.
Yes.
Like that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, just like here, we're not as used to seeing the breakdown within the five levels of consciousness of the various kinds of mentalities that are there, and how one level of consciousness might have two or three different categories, generally two, of persons within that. Right? And that, you know, and then we'd have this, and then we also discussed today that there can be overlap.
Yes.
You can be situated in one, but having somehow the consciousness in the other.
Yeah.
Or be situated in the other, but have the consciousness in this. You know, it's just like, let's say someone is, they've just come in contact with Krishna consciousness, and they've become very impressed, and they have accepted, you know, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, but they don't know anything. They've gone to the temple, they were there, they are impressed, talked to a devotee, you know, and then, you know, so it breaks, basically brings them to the point of faith. But their lifestyle and all the things they do will still be that from Pranamoya from their background.
Yes.
And then, as they associate with devotees, then they'll start to learn, and then Bhajana Kriya, then they'll start to take up the natural form of, you know, this Vijnanamaya. So if they to that degree they don't, then they don't. Or they take it up in the temple program, but not in the social aspect. So they don't take up Varnashram. So then they'll still be functioning in Pranamoya when it comes to the social, but within the devotional, then in Vijnanamaya. So you learn all these things so that you can understand where they fit. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur just, he shows the main categories and then he breaks it down. And we can say, well, is this exactly this? It is, but at the same time there can be overlap. That's the whole point. So that the difficulty comes is when we want them cleanly and neatly fit into a box, and that's it, nothing else can be in the box. Or this can't go to be have influence on the other box, right? Because we like the boxes. What we don't really appreciate are the arrows between the boxes. That's why in most professional presentations there are no arrows.
Right?
Yeah, because it makes it simple. Yeah, otherwise there's overlap. You know?
But also, sometimes I've seen the presentation, this arrow going only one direction, but not coming back.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's a flow chart.
Yeah, then the flow. Or sometimes they'll have something, you know, you have the circles and the overlap, and that they do that. If it's more complex.
Yeah, the Venn diagrams.
Huh?
The Venn diagrams.
Venn?
Venn diagrams.
Venn diagrams.
Yes.
Yeah, so then you have like that, and yeah, so these all have names. So they do it, but the point is that, yes, it's like that, that's why you can do, but the point is in devotion it can have all these, because we're dealing with our polluted consciousness, and everybody's an individual, so how, what's going to come out first, what's going to rise first, you can't say.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like somebody with the kirtan, that goes right up, but other aspects are a problem. You know, or on prashad, or on just their personal, you know, cleanliness, or their dress, or behavior. So all these different things. Somebody may advance more in that and be slower in another area. It just depends where your anarthas are. So that's why in the society of devotees, you take advantage of the good association. There's complete good association. Right? Sometimes it's thought, oh, there's no good association. There is. It's just you may have to, like the bee,
yes.
you know, the Madhukari, go and take a little bit from each place.
Yes.
Don't expect too much. Like some people, they're great to take prashad with. They're fun to take prashad with, but you don't want to do anything else with them.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like that. But some people are great to manage with, but you wouldn't necessarily have lunch with them. Because all they'll do is talk management. You know what I'm saying? So like that is that you'll have individuals where you, for what you need in devotional service, there, just it might be a bit wider range than, you know, we're always thinking, where's that one person? Yeah, but that one person is, you don't have to worry, there's unlimited of those one persons, but they're in the spiritual world. But even there, they stick to their groups. You know, there's overlap. It's like the young cowherd boys, they hang out with all the cowherd boys, but they'll especially hang out with their group. Or the senior cowherd boys, you know, Bala Bhadra, Mandali Bhadra, and all them, they'll be the ones that'll guide. So they'll, you know, when all the boys are playing, they'll stand together and talk. You understand? And then the confidential ones, then they're not going to, it's just they'll be with Krishna and they'll talk like that, and you don't generally hear of them being together. You don't hear of Krishna with two or three of the confidential. Have you heard? Or you generally only hear of one. Not that they can't be, but you generally hear of just one.
One or two, yes.
One or two.
Sometimes it's two.
Sometimes it's two. Okay, yes, yes, yes. Yeah. And so, yeah. So then does that make sense? So they have their groupings, even as there, because the how they serve Krishna, their particular secondary that they serve Krishna through, then you have that common point you can discuss. Like Mother Jashoda hangs out with all the elder gopis because they have the same common point. Right? But you always hear of them hanging out together. Then when they have a program, yes, then all the cowherd men and cowherd women are all there together. But you see, when they're just sitting together, then it's Kamadha Jashoda with the other senior cowherd women, not with that the men are there also. Because it'd be a different topic. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's a natural thing. It's just finding that those situations that you're inspired in. Does that make sense? And then if you find that person where it's great to do everything with, you're very fortunate. Yes?
I have this question that bugs me a long time. Sometimes senior people, you know, after the program, you know, they just want to pour their heart to you, and then it's a lot of frustration is in there, and you can't really refuse. It's very awkward situation. So how can, what do we do? Because we don't want to hear that, but they want to share it with us.
Well, they're just taking it that you're someone who could relate to those things. And so either by just speaking it, they feel better. And so then they'll work it out in their own mind. Or by speaking it, maybe you can give some, you know, idea of how you deal with it. Like that. You know, so it's just a matter of companionship, that kind of thing. So then it's just seen like that. You do what you can.
Because that, whatever is given, it's really difficult to digest, actually.
Yeah, then you work on it. I mean, if it's something where, means if it's just that it's a difficulty with how things are working, you know, either as individuals or arrangements or, you know, whatever it is, the crowd or something like that, then that's one thing. Because then that's just a matter of then figuring out what would be a better thing. If you find it's criticizing other senior devotees, that you might just, you know, how you say, pleasantly bow out of. That then there's no real benefit. Then he has to talk to someone else on his level where they can get grumpy together and it'll work. Right? But if it's just a matter of, let's say you've had a program and there's certain aspects, you know, this guy always comes and always does this, or that one does that, or this one never arranges this, or those kind of things, then that you discuss, and then you try to see how you can, if you have any way to work it out. You know, or talk to those who can, or it's one of those that you can't do anything about, so at least then he feels better, so they'll come back and do the next program. Like that. But if it's actually criticizing, you know, on a level that's above us, you know, Guru Varga, that kind of thing, then that you can always just say is this conversation is above my pay grade, so better to talk to someone else. So, okay.
No, it seems that the topic of consciousness is always essential in our lives.
Yes, yes. You see, it comes up very, very much. Prabhupada talks a lot, the acharyas talk a lot, you know, and they expand. We have the five levels of consciousness, then we have the three phases of consciousness, you know, sleep, waking, and deep sleep, like that. But that's also connected with us in the intelligence, like that. So, because the intelligence deals with that mechanically. You know, just like the senses deal with certain things mechanically.
Yes.
Like that. We get our information from the senses, though then the mind then filters that, then the intelligence and analyzes it. You know, so it's just, we have that. So we have here is that, and then you have the stages. So the stages are these, you know, the what is it? Covered, retracted, what is it? Budding. Is it budding? Budding, blossoming, and fully blossom. So those are stages, right? So we have then the phases, you know, sleeping like this, and then we have the levels. We also have how you gain knowledge. They match with the five levels, right? Means from the senses, pratyaksha you're getting from the senses, you know, with anamoy. Then you're hearing from others. That's paroksha. You know, that because you hear from others, that's how you get... How do you get a concept of the social, you know, immoral, how you say, not God-conscious morality. It's only from hearing from others,
yes.
Right? But you can have a wide range as that, but the point is you hear from others. Mm-hmm. Then the third level is paroksha. It's on the aparoksha. It means it's unheard. You experience it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then adhoksaja is Krishna enters it and you get that feeling, like we said before, is that aspect of, you know, that shelter, and it's, we understand it's the house and it's Krishna, so that aspect of how Krishna pervades everything.
Mm-hmm.
We can experience that.
Yes.
Right? And then adhoksaja means the transcendental.
Mm-hmm.
The fifth level. So we just by Krishna reveals.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So these are all the different aspects.
Yes.
So they go. So there's all these different things that are all connected with the consciousness, because
yes.
Krishna consciousness,
yes.
The consciousness is actually the point that we're trying to bring to Krishna.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. You know, so it's international. Means everybody's included. Society, those who have this, and, of their consciousness being fixed on Krishna.
Sometimes in France we say, there is two movements. We have International Society for Krishna Consciousness and International Society for Krishna Unconsciousness.
Yes, but that's already going on.
Yes.
That one, I think the motto is, what's it, Vive la France. It's already there.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes. The difficulty sometimes is because we are the... We are the object and the subject in consciousness.
Yes, but the point is we are consciousness. We're a small portion of the unlimited consciousness. So Krishna, we're part of Krishna. So that he's conscious, we're conscious.
Yes.
But he's unlimitedly conscious. We're only conscious of our portion.
Yes. Yes.
So when we see our portion connected with Krishna, then we can taste eternal.
Yes. Yes.
Then the sat, the chit, and ananda have actual meaning.
Yes.
But if we're only conscious of our little bit, not connected to Krishna, then we don't get any of them. So it's asat, achit, and near ananda.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Not ideal. Right. But
yes.
Maharaj, just to know about the first two levels, we had paroksha, aparoksha, and adoksha. Which were the first
two? Meaning you have pratyaksha, paroksha, aparoksha, adhoksaja, and aprakrita. Like you'll see Goswami Maharaj in Moscow, he'll talk a lot on this one.
Yeah.
Like that.
That confuses many, because when he speaks, then he has an idea, but people get the wrong idea and it's all funny.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just how that level of consciousness gains its knowledge. Right? In other words, someone on Anamoy gains their knowledge through the senses,
yeah.
Through pratyaksha, right? Someone on the platform of Pranamoy gains their knowledge from others, right? Facebook or whatever it is. That's how it works, right?
Yes.
Then Manamoy, then you gain the knowledge there because of the experience. You experience it. That's what it really gives. That's the prominence. It's not that there's not these things in all of them. It's just it's the prominence.
Yeah.
It's just like the example is given that when asked in the morning, how did you sleep? You can say, I slept well.
Yes.
Even though you're unconscious, right? And it's pointed out because Krishna reveals. So Krishna's there. He is the senses. He is the popular. He is everything. So it's still all Krishna. That's the point, is that even all these, you have to connect to Krishna.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? And then adhoksa, because Krishna enters it, so you can see. So the vijnanamoya is that how Krishna is everything, how everything's in Krishna, that aspect, that's what gives you the knowledge on that platform. Right? And then prakriti means it's beyond. It has nothing to do with the time and space of this material world. So it's just the Lord's pastimes. His interaction, rasa. So that's where you get your knowledge is from the transcendental. It's just connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? Like that. So in other words, you're using the senses, you're using the social environment, you're using karma, you're using jnana, and then it's just bhakti.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see, they naturally all fit together. It's just which aspect you want to bring out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But if it's not clear, then you get confused that they're two different things. But they're actually the same thing. They're just bringing out another aspect of it. You know, it's just like, let's say we're talking about the frying pan. Someone might be talking about the top of the frying pan, where you actually cook things. But someone else turns it over and is pointing out the bottom. That the reason it cooks so good is because, you know, this and the layers here, and they got this there and that. And you know what I'm saying? So you get confused. Are we talking about the same thing? But it's one pan. You know, someone else might talk about the handle. Right?
It's important.
It is important. Yeah, his hands, they always falling off, you know, because the screw always comes loose, you know, so you get the ones that are riveted on and that, they're there, you know.
But Maharaj, it is easy when we are, we can say, when we are Krishna conscious, we are.
Yes.
If we are not, it is.
That's
impossible.
The point of Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. Because then it's one, it's Krishna. And if not, then we have unlimited desires to take our mind off in unlimited directions. So that's the meaning. So when we say all the demigods and that would be where it's from.
Yes.
So we have all these desires. We don't know they're controlled by the demigods, so we don't count them as part of the thing. But if you're part of the Vedic culture, when you say, you know, all these desires connect to the demigods, that's what it means. But even if you don't believe in all the demigods, still they're controlling all these things anyway. You know? So that's the thing. It's either the senses or Krishna. So that's one or many. And depending on the individual, there can be more many or less many. But it's still going to be a lot. Okay. The immortal people and the two kinds of atheists are situated in the stage of budding consciousness. The people who believe in God and the people engaged in sadhana bhakti are situated in the stage of blossoming consciousness. And the people engaged in bhava bhakti are situated in the stage of fully blossomed consciousness. Mm-hmm. Right? Because we're taking them that they're on anamoy, but they're above the animals. Mm-hmm. Right? So, is that next verse? Yeah. So they're going to be there. So, yeah. So when they believe in God, so that's it brings it up. So the overlaps are there because you're situating, but it's going to be, it's when they're on that, what the person who believes in God, that's going to situate them the same level as the devotees. Though they may, whether they're situated in devotional service or situated below that in karma or jnana.
Yes.
But they're situated there. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we always have to understand that is that there's going to be that one is the animals are on anamoya, but these guys, they may be in anamoya, but their consciousness is, you know, all the human are, you know, is budding.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Because the humans only have budding, blossoming, and fully blossoming. So budding will be those on anamoya and pranamoya, you know, and basically can go up into manamoya. But and then blossoming will be when they're properly situated nicely in the manamoy or vijnanamoy.
Mm-hmm.
And then blooming will be anandamoy.
Yes.
Right? Okay. And this was from, the previous page. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're on this Sri Govindavasya. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow we're on this Sri Govindavasya. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.
So,
yes. Oh yeah, we won't have, is there having the, yeah.
Hare Krishna, there's no class now for Bhagavatam. And the evening class will be as usual.
Because they're having the Pushyabhishek?
Yes.
Like that.